There you go again.
Don't play with me right now.
That's not right.
These are not bright people in our government.
Oh, go figure.
The nightmare begins.
This is the Brian Suits Show. Wow, I just had a horrible practical joke played on me.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I didn't even know if I can describe it on the air. But do you have the Google Translate? Or that's right, you're an iPhone. You're in league with the Chinese Communist Party.
Come on.
Do they? Apple has a translation thing, right?
Sure.
Okay. Whatever you do, don't do this. Don't select English to Dutch. Because again, we play. This is another bad joke. Another reason to dislike the Dutch. As far as I'm concerned.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
Okay, so, and you can do voice to translate, right?
Okay.
Because that's a question. That's. I mean, you can, right?
Is it a dirty word?
Well, okay, if you ask it to translate from English to Dutch, the phrase, pick my most beautiful side. Pick my most beautiful side. I can't play the Dutch pronunciation on the air because it would sound
like a naughty
dirty
word.
In English.
Okay. But you're amused by it.
Well, I take my hat off to who did it to me because I did it. And I can't even, so anyway, pick my most beautiful side. What is that in Dutch? So here's the thing. Here's what I'm not doing. I'm not activating your phone as you're driving to work on the, by and large, plowed and barren roadways here around the Seattle area. I don't see any major unexpected traffic problems. So I'm not going to do Accela, and I'm not going to do Iris, and I'm not going to do Hey Noodle or any of those. But that would be – I'd be up in HR before – I'd be signing my exit paperwork before 9 a.m. So anyway, pick my most beautiful side. So you see, I'll come in during the break. I'll come in and they'll subject you to it.
I look forward to it.
And let me just say, I guess the reason we were talking is it's a mutual friend. I got introduced to the guy who did all of the Bill O'Reilly ghostwriting, Martin Dugard. Anytime you see like Killing Pat and Killing Lincoln, look at the bottom of the book and it says with, you know, Martin Dugard. He did all the writing of those. Anyway, on his own, he's a tremendous historian, great, great writer. And he did Taking Paris, which is a terrific book about August 1944 as the Allied armies were coming up on Paris and Hitler had ordered the destruction of Paris and it wasn't done. Lots and lots of research, lots of stuff that someone like me, a total know-it-all, didn't know. His new book is Taking Berlin, and I bought it. I could call him or I could email him and say, send me a review copy, but I know I would want to keep the book. And so I did. It's a terrific book. It was out in mid-November. And so maybe we'll get him on. So I said, we're not going to talk about the book. That's the problem. It's like when you have an author on, you're sitting there for an hour talking about a book. It's like, well, just buy the book. You know, just what do you want to know? Does the host like the book or not? It's a terrific book. I paid money for the book.
It could be a fun conversation.
We'll do it live.
I bought it at Costco. I'm not lying. So I saved some money. But I know it's going to stay on my shelf for a while, talk about a dream gig. Pre-marketed, you got a guy, not as much, Bill O'Reilly, a little bigger name a little while ago. So anyway, like, as I always say, pick my most beautiful side, and then I buy a book. Well, let's see, I was about to get into a thing here. Oh, yeah, Janet Yellen, that's right. So, couple things. Elon Musk and Tim Cook of Apple have kissed and made up. Tim Cook is saying that Apple never intended to deplatform Twitter. And I got to say, Twitter's been around for 15 years. If you have it, you have it. I mean, who doesn't have it? Who would want it now? I'm not sure. But anyway, the idea was that Apple was going to take Twitter off the Apple store, the Apple App Store or whatever. And Tim Cook is saying, no, that's not going to happen. It's not. I'll save the best part for after Janet Yellen. Janet Yellen, by the way, if you don't know this, the Secretary of the Treasury should be as objective and cold as a surgeon. But they're not. They're political. Just like the Secretary of Transportation or the SecDef and the rest of them. And so keep this in mind, that she is not the oracle of all things economic.
Normally, you wouldn't expect just because you had a rapid recovery for inflation to rise very much, if at all. But it turned out the pandemic had very special impacts on the economy. Remember, everybody stopped spending on services. They were in their homes for a year or more. They wanted to buy grills and office furniture. They were working from home.
Let me just stop you right there, Madam Secretary, Madam Transitory Inflation. There's things I never did before the COVID. What does she mean? Everyone stopped paying for services. I never had DoorDash or any of those until then.
They paid for different services during COVID.
Yeah, I don't know what...
The pandemic had very special impacts on the economy. Remember, everybody stopped spending on services. They were in there.
Because that's what's going on right now as we go back to work, because we're kind of over it and it's the fifth cold and all that. That's who's laying people off, is the administrative staff of Lyft and Uber and DoorDash just had a bloodbath. Because people are like, you know, going to these places. There's some places that actually cook the food and you can eat it there. And it's crazy. It doesn't come in a bag and a styrofoam box. They have tables. They have some tables by the window. And you can say, can I sit at that table? And someone will say, yeah, let me walk you over there. And they'll sit you at the table. And then you order the food and you don't dash. That's the deal. You stay there. You eat the food. Then you pay for the food on the way. You don't front load the food and then find out that the waiter's been eating the French fries on the way to your table. It's the weirdest thing. You know, that'd be a great thing to do for like, you know, wife and three kids, Greg. Think about that.
Noted.
Yeah. You're close to one of my favorite of these places down there. How in minutes, how far away from you are Claim? How far from Claim Jumper are you?
There used to be one in Redmond Town Center that was maybe 20 minutes away from my house. I'm not sure where the closest one is now.
In relation, a half hour. Let me just tell you this. Southwest of at the very edge of South Center, there's a Claim Jumper.
It's been a while.
It's been a damn
years.
Good one. What would you think for a Christmas gift, a Claim Jumper gift card?
Is this a feeler question?
It's not for you. I mean, for someone else.
For someone else.
No, I mean, for you.
Yeah, it depends on the amount.
I would be tickled. Let me just say that.
I would be tickled as well.
Yeah. So, but anyway, back to Janet Yellen. This is, by the way, this is on Stephen Colbert.
Technology, you know, we're suddenly working through technology. And remember, Russia has conducted a brutal war against Ukraine.
And that leads to inflation. How?
And that caused gas prices to spike. It's caused food prices to spike. It's creating hardship all over the world. And we're really trying to address those strains as well.
Didn't cause food prices to spike here, by the way.
So her reasons for inflation being at the number it is today, Americans buying barbecue grills and Putin's war in Russia. Can we go to our in-house economist, Milton, for a rebuttal?
Inflation is made in Washington because only Washington can create money.
Boom.
And any other attribution to other groups of inflation is wrong. Consumers don't produce it. Producers don't produce it. The trade unions don't produce it. Foreign sheiks don't produce it. Oil imports don't produce it. What produces it is too much government spending and too much government creation of money and nothing else.
There you go. Milton Friedman from the grave retorting Janet Yellen with one foot in it. By the way, if you're following along at home, the dollar is the world reserve currency for financial exchanges at about 60% around the world. For trade, Everything is converted into dollars. It's north of 90%. China is making inroads. Is that one of their number one secret goals is to replace the dollar as a world reserve currency. But only the American government can print dollars. And that is what causes inflation. Not a surprise, the two biggest counterfeiters of American currency are Iran and North Korea. But what's funny about that is the Iranians print hundreds and the North Koreans print 20s. And there's a lesson in there somewhere. The philosophy, according to a Treasury Department enforcement guy that I know, is that the North Koreans have discovered that fewer people hold a 20 up to the sun. And so make something that's going to make it through more likely. Printing hundreds, you're going to get people holding it up to the sun to see if it's real or not. So I have it on really good authority, by the way. Before the switch to the hologram and then the stripe to the right of the president or the inventor,
mm-hmm.
in the case of the 100, they were way easier to counterfeit. And I have a really good authority from a year and a half in Baghdad at the edge of our area of operational responsibility. We were 60 miles from the Iranian border, and I had occasion to see a few, and they're damn good. They were the hundreds were damn good, but I learned from Iraqis, hold them up, or or after the transaction, just say keep the change and keep running or something, but. So anyway, of course, speaking of Apple and the latest from Twitter, Apple is still disabling AirDrop in China. They're still helping the security state of China. And Ricky Gervais in 2020 pretty much said the best and last thought on Apple.
Apple roared into the TV game with a morning show, a superb drama. Yeah. A superb drama about the importance of dignity and doing the right thing, made by a company that runs sweatshops in China. So, well, you say you're woke, but the companies you work for, I mean, unbelievable. Apple, Amazon, Disney. If ISIS started a streaming service, you'd call your agent, wouldn't you? So, if you do win an award tonight, don't use it as a platform to make a political speech, right? You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world. Most of you spent less time in school than Greta Thunberg. So, if you win, right, come up, accept your little award, thank your agent and your God, and f*** off, okay? So, it's already 3 hours long.
I love that they're all applauding. I mean, if he hosts it, I will watch it. Otherwise, there's no reason to watch any of the virtue signaling that goes on there.
That monologue has aged like a fine wine in the last 2 years.
One of the best YouTube mashups you can find is like Ricky Gervais 2016, 9 minutes of all of his best jokes and monologue bits, tearing Hollywood apart. And they're all, half of them are laughing because they know they're frauds. The other half are laughing uncomfortably. You know who is losing money from their wokeness is your Disney. Did you know that their latest movie cost $200 million? It's not going to make the money.
No, they're going to lose over $100 million. And the company, for the first time maybe ever, missed their benchmarks for their economic forecast. And so they went into panic mode, thus bringing back former CEO Bob Iger to try to right the ship here.
And so here's the deal. They learned a really harsh lesson with Disney does all this. They own Star Wars. I mean, literally own the entire franchise, and they own the rights to do all these spinoffs. That being said, Andor is one of the best written things I've ever seen, and it has little or nothing to do with, even though it's the Star Wars universe, it's terrific. When they fired Gina Carano from The Mandalorian, they had no idea how much she resonated with conservatives and all that, because Gina Carano is a daughter of a very wealthy Reno family. They own the silver mine or whatever casino. Very successful MMA athlete. And I forgot what the stink was,
She tweeted something about free speech, and
it was
a comparison to Germany in the 30s, and said something like, "This is the last time speech was squashed," or it was relatively tame.
Yeah, and meanwhile, the guy who that jerky jerk face that plays Mandalorian, the guy in the with the helmet on, he'll do all this anti-right, you know, anti-gun, Trump stuff.
And Pedro Pascal?
Yeah, and he was on cartels or whatever it is, or narcos. And he doesn't lose his job, and Disney is feeling the sting of this. Because when they fired Gina Carano, millions of people canceled their Disney subscription. Then Ben Shapiro hires her to do movies for his thing in Tennessee. And by the way, so to Disney's dismay and shock, conservatives can rally behind a alternate same-sex strong woman. I think that shocked them. That they have this idea that all conservatives are literally thumping a Bible everywhere down the street, and that, you know, conservatives are pointing their finger at your lifestyle and all that. No, nobody cares who Gina Carano, shares their house with. No one that I know does. And that shocked him a bit. This is part of the reason, because Disney, they couldn't care less about your kids' happiness. They care about the money. I know that about them. And for some reason, my child is vaccinated, inoculated, has never set foot in Disneyland, really couldn't care less about any Disney, since Cars, since she was four and had a Tomator pillow, but she didn't care where it came from. But, you know, we watched the first Cars, she liked it, and for some reason the Disney just fell out of her. She couldn't give a rat's Disney.
So Chris Rufo obtained exclusive video of Bob Iger's first town hall meeting with Disney employees since returning as CEO. And prominent conservatives are saying some of the soundbites that emerged from this meeting are signaling that Disney wants to backtrack from some of its now highly publicized political stands.
The main thing is the news. They brought back Bob Iger,
right?
Who just took Disney to a new height, to Matterhorn heights.
But Iger's comments are very diplomatic. He speaks in kind of generalities, but see if you can sort of read between the lines on some of these sound bites. I'm really interested to hear your take, Brian.
Cut 14.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures, and the Dutch.
Wow, that's not very controversial. Oh, I'm sorry. That's my Michael Caine, Let's All Hate Holland thing. So this is Bob Iger on the super, super secret team call, Zoom call.
This company has been telling stories for 100 years, and those stories have had a meaningful, positive impact on the world. And one of the reasons they've had a meaningful, positive impact is because one of the core values of our storytelling is inclusion and acceptance and tolerance. And we can't lose that. We just can't lose that. We also, when you tell stories, it's a delicate balance. You're talking to an audience, but it's also important to listen to an audience. It's important to have respect for the people that you're serving, that you're trying to reach, and not have disdain for it. That said, we're not going to make everybody happy all the time. And we're not going to try to, and we're certainly not going to lessen our core values in order to make everybody happy all the time. So it's complicated, and there's a balance.
I think Michael Jordan said it best when he said, Republicans buy shoes, too.
Well, do you think that's what he's signaling
that's
there?
Exactly. When he's saying audience, he means customer. Does anyone out there not understand what I say? What I mean when I say audience, I mean customer and
people who spend money.
And that's the thing. What Ron DeSantis backs for a law, I know it rhymes to say don't say gay, but the law didn't say that. And if you, the employee, want to start a war with the state practically gave you sovereign status within the state for Disney World, then you go do it on your own damn time. But when you clock in as Pluto or whoever you walk around the park as a dignified adult, don't bring your politics in here. And the prior CEO, whose name shall not be mentioned, didn't do it. Iger might have fired those people. He might have said, listen, people fly here from freaking Iowa. OK, You don't make the headlines by complaining that your employer isn't mad enough about a law that your outrage with it is almost pure fiction. Your grievance is made up. You ever see Drunk History?
Oh, yeah.
You ever see the one on the creator of Mickey Mouse?
No, I haven't seen that one.
No one knows that. It's a great one. Because Walt Disney did not draw Mickey Mouse. Kid walked up to Walt Disney once at a party and said, "Mr. Disney, can you draw me a Mickey Mouse?"
Oh,
and,
boy.
And he walked across the room to the guy who created, who was his partner, and handed him the paper and said, "I need a Mickey." And so the guy hand drew it. That man's name was Ub Iwerks. True deal.
Do I like the company being embroiled in controversy? Of course not. It can be distracting, and it can have a negative impact on the company. And to the extent that I can work to kind of quiet things down, I'm going to do that. But I think it's important to put in perspective what some of these subjects are and not just simply brand them political.
And leave your politics at the door or at the clock when you clock in.
Who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
So, okay, but we can all come together about that. All right, back in a second. I wonder what they're going to do, though, to get the people that dropped Disney streaming to get them back. I don't know. But back in a second, AM 7:30, we're going to check your text, the checking of the texting at 800-465-8770. I have a obscure Christmas, ought to be a hit song when we come back. It's mystery why it's not a bigger hit. The song coming back right after this. AM 770 KTTH.
I love inside jokes. Love to be a part of one someday.
You know the song off the first chord there?
Yes and no.
Oh, yeah. Candles burning low.
Stevie Wonder.
Lots of mistletoe. Lots of snow and ice. Everywhere we go. Choirs singing carols. Right,
it's Stevie Wonder's What Christmas Means to Me from 1967. AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suitzer. It's funny. It's one of those songs that, like, every time I hear it, I'm like, what? Stevie Wonder did that? How come that's not played more?
What's
it's a great song.
The chorus of the song, though?
What?
I recognize the first half of that, but is there a catchy chorus, like an earworm type melody?
Let's find it. I've only used it as a bumper.
That's why I didn't recognize it right away.
Let's find out. I bet there is. I bet it's building up to something really. A musical smoke show for your ears.
But we're already on verse two without a chorus.
You don't dictate art to Stevie freaking Wonder.
Truth.
Born Stevelyn Morris.
Okay, here's the bill.
Oh, that's what Christmas means to me, my love.
I know he's going to hum. Anyway.
There's no jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
That might be the flaw.
The hook is what Christmas means to me, my love, but that's not going to get stuck in your head. You just recognize the splendor of his voice, which is
and his
second
humming.
To none. And his humming.
So anyway, that's what Christmas means to me. I have hope.
Pretty, pretty nice.
Christmas is about hope. I hope he gets to a chorus.
Wake up just before daylight.
But you don't need... I need a chorus for that. Anyway, I'll tweet that out. If you're building
Stevie.
A Christmas YouTube list, and I certainly hope you are.
Don't bore us. Get to the chorus.
I know. But it's a great song. I think because of the way it starts.
It is.
It's kind of like the best part. Because you have time to turn the radio up, and you can look at everyone in the car and like, come on. It's a fascinating story, but... Then they find out you're on Spotify and you can pause it and all that. But so anyway, I'll tweet that out here in just a second. Is it time for, you know, I don't have to deliver sad news. There's no law.
What are you getting prepared to say?
Gaylord Perry died.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Ancient Mariner. We were graced with the presence of Gaylord Perry here late in his career. After the Braves dropped him, he got on with the Mariners, rapidly earning the nickname the Ancient Mariner. He won his 300th game on May 6, 1982 in the King Dome, which was a concrete structure that we tore down before it paid for itself.
He's a member of the MLB Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
Won 2 Cy Young Awards, dead at the age of 84.
Yeah. And he has one of the most famous highlights of getting rid of the sandpaper. He doctored balls more than my proctologist.
Didn't they all?
Well, back then, that was the thing. The gamesmanship back then. Now there's that ritual where you take your hat off and you hand it to the ump, you know, and it depends on what they think of you, how much they examine it. But Gaylord Perry used to have sandpaper inside of his belt, in his glove, in his hat. And there's a famous video highlight where the ump comes up and says, "Hey, I got to see your hat." And as he takes it off, the sandpaper falls out and he's, you know, he's basically saying those aren't my pants and all that. But anyway, he was a joy to watch, a great pitcher. The Giants retired his number 36 15 years ago. So anyway, Gaylord Perry dead today. So with that sunny note, let's get into the checking of your text name. I'm not going to cold read that one. You have one?
Yes, I've got one. Reuben Covington. Christmas villages are very addictive, guys. My daughter is already talking about needing rooms for her collection. I bought her one little house 2 years ago. Wouldn't mind hearing some Karen Carpenter Christmas bumps this season.
She had great pipes. Very strong female voice, the Karen Carpenter.
Is she the one who played the drums, too?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yes.
She
so
and her talented. Brother. We're the Carpenters.
I wasn't aware of her Christmas catalog, but maybe I'll check some of those out. Another from the 425. We kept our Disney Plus subscription for Marvel and Star Wars, but divested from the Disney company. I can quit anytime. It's not like I'm addicted or anything.
On that same subject, Brian and Greg, Iger is actually the person who created the woke culture at Disney. The previous CEO, Chapek, was a moderate who was trying to back Disney off the cliff. Remember, Iger was going to run for president for the Dems? Yeah, I have an explanation for that. This is a Hail Mary by the board to try to rescue the company. Here's the thing. Just like 2 years ago, every company as a totem, and it still exists in Olympia, they put Black Lives Matter in the window so they didn't have to pay for a broken window. Because we were allowing gangs to go around and break, you know, basically saying, how come you don't wear the ribbon? And, you know, you have to put the magic talisman in the window. Pretty much every company went woke 2 years ago. It was nuts. It was a group delusion. It was a group hallucination. And Disney was no different. People stealing their cheesecake.
You see someone actually walking away with a cheesecake there after the Cheesecake Factory was looted. Unclear where they may have gotten that.
That's Channel 7, Cairo, going woke. They know damn well where that came from. But so anyway, the guy made money for Disney. That's his job. His job is not. However, his job is to follow trends and discover trends and not have his windows broken. That's, I get it. That's every business's job. But I'll tell you what, I don't go there. If their 10% of our profit goes to, you know, the armband of the month, I can decide not to go there. But anyway, that's Iger.
Text from the 425, Brian always gets the best drops. How do we get copies of those? Possibly make them available for a charitable donation or something for Christmas?
Oh, possibly screw you.
Those are our drops and you can't have them.
I don't, you know what? I should put up a little page where people can download them as a ringtone. You can download them as a ringtone. And then go into settings, phone. I think it's the same in your evil phone, on ePhones. I know on Android, you go to settings, you can import any MP3. So you could, you know, you could say, yeah, so interesting anecdote, blah, 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 team meeting.
Elon.
Oh, I got to get that. It's my kid. No, okay, sorry about that. So I have to, you know, I got to. Oh, it's my other kid calling in. That's all. Let me conference him. So anyway.
I want to get in.
The old lady's calling now. So anyway, maybe that's a good idea. If we could, by the way, if anyone knows how we could do that. And then King County Animal Shelter or whatever could, or Stock Dog Rescue in Yakima.
So Ukraine is a country in Europe.
There, we picked up Smitty in Woodinville at a great shelter there. So anyway, that's the kind of thing I'd like to do. It's not political, not nothing. It's not like they have, you know, woke dogs, but them. So anyway, if anyone can help us with that, that would be a great thing to do with those. So making the drops available for like how would you do that? I don't know, like a $1 app or something?
For the children.
Yeah, exactly. So, bsuits@bonneville.com. But if you want someone to actually, answer, G. Tomlin.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. Bsuitsofbonneville.com. And then we'll check that out. If we could get that up and running, that would be neat. That'd be a neat thing. Back in the second, AM 770 KTTH. Guess.
I'm ready.
Twisted Sister's out of money, and no casinos calling them. No county fairs. They redid You're Not Gonna Take It as
Oh, Come All You Faithful.
Oh, Come All You
Faithful. Ding, 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 ding. This was a Christmas bumper request on the text line.
They got me. Never heard it.
A little pitchy.
Yeah, a little overwrought, one would say. AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suter, and so we'll
I used to have a beagle named Crackhead.
So just had to do that. I just found, as someone was talking about drops, I'm like, oh, where do I have them? Because I believe them. We make a file every day. Today, not only did I have to make today's day file, I had to make December because it's December 1st. So
forbidden essences.
I found a bunch of stuff all over. And so I would have to, because I would want to hit that if we did that for a fundraiser for some, you know, probably a dog based thing. I'd want people to have like a top 50 or whatever. So maybe we should start there. By the way, I'll do a Facebook Live a little later on today for the KTTH Facebook page. I never got to the story from the Washington Post today. Rise in Iranian assassination kidnapping plots alarms Western officials. And some of it's happening right out of Vancouver, B.C. Last week, you know, I was telling you on the KTTH Facebook page about the rise in these sort of de facto Chinese secret police stations, some of them operating almost in the open, like in Toronto, Canada, Vancouver, Canada, and they seek to it's been said that they want a storefront here. And the way they do it is by influencing the owners and saying, listen, wouldn't it be fun if your nephew stayed in Tsinghua University or Beijing University? Because it would be really cool for you to hire that guy over there and he'll work here. Maybe we'll pay for it. Maybe he'll pay for himself. We don't know. But he has other business here in Seattle, and then they do the business of the Chinese Secret Service, the Ministry for Secret Service, the MSS, The Ministry for State Security. And it's weird that they operate so openly, and that the Iranians do as well. So there's a report. It's not going to surprise me, but I was playing for you yesterday the celebrations when Iran lost their World Cup game and now they're out. Kind of like the Chinese are holding up blank pieces of paper. In Iran, what people did was they celebrated that they lost. And because the regime had tied itself so closely to the World Cup team, defeating America and making it a holy mission, all that, when they lost, that people went out, they honked and they partied and celebrated and the whole thing. There's a report that someone's been killed. And all that. So anyway, not as I said, I don't know about the accuracy of it, but it also wouldn't surprise me at that point. Naming a beagle crackhead surprises me, frankly.
A beagle named a crackhead.
That is so odd.
I want more, and I know I shouldn't.
Did you see that mashup of Karine Jean-Pierre saying Biden's been to the border?
No, but I don't believe our president has been.
He has not. Another question from Peter Ducey of Fox yesterday was posed to the spokesperson, the person who's not John Kirby, Karine Jean-Pierre, and his question went like this.
When are you guys going to delete the White House Twitter account?
Why would we do that?
Well, you're saying that you're keeping an eye on Twitter because it might not be a suitable platform. So why use it?
The president has always said, and he has been very, very clear in his belief, that it is important of social media platforms to continue to take steps to reduce hate speech and misinformation. Yeah. I don't have anything to share on any policy or any changes that we will be making.
Yeah, weird how they don't talk about the censorship that now former Twitter people are coming out and talking about. They weren't talking about the suppression on Twitter of any mention of the Hunter files or Hunter cocaine, Hunter searching for crack and shag carpet. So what was his famous thing that he smoked a lot of Parmesan or whatever? He was, you know, you couldn't even retweet that. They didn't have a problem with Twitter then.
Oh, no. He was smoking...
Sherwood International Average of Pressure. That's right. Huge rocks of it. Bricks of it. Like that guy in West Seattle. And yeah, only Hunter was doing it with less clothes on than the guy in West Seattle.
And it gave him really bad...
Baccaria.
I mean, really bad.
And so they have no problem with that going on. But now that a guy has decided that the number one way to support free speech is to let people speak freely. Dear God, you have like even the ultra political secretary of the Treasury, Janet Yellen, was intimating that looking into Elon Musk's finances and all this crap from her end might take place. But you're darn tootin'. That they don't like speech that is critical of them. And that's like saying that you're certainly keeping your eye on certain newspapers or certain cable networks or whatever. But anyway, that was yesterday. But it is funny. I saw it on Bret Baier that she was insisting that a montage of her saying, oh, he's been to the border. Maybe his vice president, he had 8 years to do it. I don't know. His vice president hasn't even been to the border, and she's the border czar.
Maybe she was speaking metaphorically.
Czarina. Yeah, he has a border in his heart. It's a border of whatever, Delaware. Does Delaware have a border with Pennsylvania?
Sure, why not?
Yes, the border, says the guy criticizing Karine Jean-Pierre. But anyway, I was I was looking for it, but I'm not going to rewind it on YouTube TV.
Anyway, 0-2.
That is the official signal from above that it's time to change subject. And so before we do that, though, one last time for today.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
I know what you're saying, Greg. What's your Alyssa Milano update? Well, yesterday she tweeted out that she's not going to retreat from the battlefield of Twitter because all these other celebrities like Ron Perlman and all that saying, yeah, peace out. And when he throws in some four syllable swear word and all this. And she's claiming that she's not going to retreat from the battlefield and all this, because you see, Twitter is like war to someone who grew up in showbiz and all that. That's your update there. And I replied to her. I think my reply is fairly classic. So check that out at Dark Secret Place. It's from yesterday. So, I didn't even say Practice Friday, did I?
You did now.
All morning long. Anyway, we will, as I say, if you can help us, maybe do a thing where somehow we make various drops to your request available, and you can download them for 50 cents or whatever to get the app or something more simple. Help us out. Email me bsuits@bonneville.com.
A beagle named a crackhead.
So that poor beagle is just sitting somewhere in a shelter in Woodinville in Toppenish. Who knows? All right. Thank you very much, Greg. We'll see you back tomorrow for Actual Practice Friday. Most of this stuff will not be on the show tomorrow, but new, fresh, local content having to do with the weather will be on AM 770 KTTH.